the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Monday, May 27th, 2019. We have our matchup.
We did it. I was thinking that we were going to have done it tonight after watching Game 7, seeing the Bucks prevail at home. Unfortunately, Fred VanVleet had other ideas.
Uh-huh. People that I've disparaged previously on this podcast have played well.
Yeah, congrats to the Toronto Raptors for their first ever finals appearance. That's a, that's what they wanted when they traded for Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, they cannot be anything but ecstatic
no.
with what they did with the offseason moves. And I'm sure Kawhi's happy too.
Yeah.
I would say I'd be shocked if he doesn't come back to their team.
I think right now I would be surprised. I don't know, shocked is...
I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I think I'm just at surprised.
I'd be shaken to my core.
Okay.
I would be surprised because I don't know what else you would want from an organization. You've got a great situation. You're going far into the playoffs. You're going as far as really any team can realistically expect to go.
Yeah.
As long as the Warriors are around, really no other team can realistically expect to like win the championship.
And, you know, who knows what the Warriors are going to look like next year.
Yeah.
And that may mean that sticking with Toronto would be his best bet.
Yeah, and I think it'll be very difficult for him to see a better option anywhere else, really.
Yeah.
Also, by all accounts, the Raptors organization is a very well-run organization.
Yeah. They've got great ownership. They've got great management. You know, they've got great ambassadors to the game of basketball.
Ambassador, you know, as Smash Mouth would say, just an overgrown mascot.
Yes, exactly. Hey now, you're a shoulder mascot. Yeah. Shoulder rubbing mascot.
So I think I called the Raptors winning, right?
You did. You did call it. I think you called it at the beginning, too.
Yeah.
So that, I stick with my guys from the beginning, and
yeah,
fat lot of good that did me.
Well, I would say that my concerns, or regular season concerns about the Bucks offense...
They were founded.
Were pretty true.
They held up.
Yeah.
Because once the Toronto Raptors figured out how to stop the Bucks, they did it, you know, pretty consistently for at least half of every game, and that's all you need to do to be able to win.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, just some amazing performances from those Toronto Raptors too.
Now, yeah, and they essentially got outlier performances from their team, and also got some good luck in pretty bad performances from Bucks supporting players.
Yes.
Because I think a number of the games in the series, if Bledsoe or Middleton or somebody had just had like an out of their world game, which they've had plenty of during the regular season.
Yeah, and even in the playoffs.
Yeah, that could have tipped any one of those four losses.
I mean, the series was 4-2, but it certainly felt like it could have gone either way. There were two games that were not close. I think it was Game 2 and Game 5.
Yeah.
Even then, and Game 5 was close up until the end.
Fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was truly, truly wild to see the Toronto Raptors play in games that were close, make incredible comebacks, and not choke.
Right.
Who are the Toronto Raptors?
Yeah.
What happened to the Toronto Raptors we knew and loved disappearing in the playoffs?
Yeah,
Kawhi.
Yeah, I mean, right. It helps to have a Finals MVP championship veteran.
Yeah,
on your team,
somebody who's not going to let the lows get low or the highs get high. He's just going to stay right there in the middle, man.
Well, I mean, and he's just have that demeanor already.
Yeah,
so he's got that demeanor of really seemingly unaffected by the game at any point. Plus, he's got the credibility of he's already gone there and done it.
Yes.
So they're kudos to them.
Somebody who has played against these Warriors had success.
Yeah.
Right? That's the other thing is that, you know, people would say that if Kawhi was around, maybe that series against the Spurs would have gone differently. The one where Zaza put him out of his business.
Yeah. I think that this season's playoffs has undermined some of those Warriors criticisms.
I think so, too.
About, like, you know, if Chris Paul was in the series... we would have won last year if Kawhi wasn't, because they have shown a remarkable ability to just like, no, we're good.
Yeah, their resilience is strong.
Yeah.
I mean, they've only gotten better as the playoffs have gone on record-wise.
Thank you for saying resilience.
Their resilience.
Instead of what everyone in sports says, which is resiliency.
Oh, resiliency.
Which is not wrong, actually.
They have resiliency, but their resilience.
Yeah.
Yeah, resiliency is
it's actually an okay word. Like, for example, the word height is actually a word. It's just not in like proper colloquial modern usage.
Interesting.
But it is, like, if you look in the Oxford English Dictionary, it is, you can technically use the word height. You can use the word resiliency, but I just don't like them.
The Oxford English Dictionary, the official dictionary of Rule of Threes podcast. Go check it out at OxfordEnglishDictionary.com, OED for short.
Yeah. OED for the NBA.
Yes.
I still think they're going to get cranked by the Warriors.
Like, yeah, I mean, if we're just throwing our predictions down.
Yeah. I mean, just generally, that's how I feel.
Yeah, the cranking is going to happen. And I mean, I stuck with my Bucks. If they would have made it to the finals, I would have picked them in 7.
Uh-huh.
But I would have actually felt like they would have lost in 6. Uh-huh. If that makes sense.
You're saying you would have lied on the podcast.
I wouldn't have lied on the podcast. I would have stuck to my guns. You would have
mixed in a little bit of, like, I hope this happens.
I would have stubbornly stuck to being a Bucks stan.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, now you get to see the inner workings of my mind. I would rather be right than be good. So that's not a positive thing. I'm working on that. But if, you know, this series, I believe my call is Warriors in 5.
Yeah.
So, and here's the reasons why I think that Warriors in 5 is the play. I think that the Warriors are going to be, in game one, they're going to be rested, and I think they're going to come out and knock the socks out of the Raptors.
Uh-huh.
Game two, I think, is going to be close, and I think the Warriors are going to lose. I think they're going to sweep the 2 games back at Oracle, and I think they're going to win in game 5 in Toronto.
Mm.
That's my prediction for how the series goes out. I don't think that the Raptors are going to be able to adjust quickly to the Warriors. And so I think that's why game 2 is going to be the game where they pull it out. But I mean, I'm just a little bummed out because I think that it's going to be a little bit of a sour note to end the season, because I don't think it's going to be as competitive as the Bucks series would have been.
I mean, yeah, that sort of is we've already got that sort of letdown from the way the Western Conference seedings worked out.
A little bit, yeah.
Crazy enough, the most competitive, one of the most competitive series of the whole playoffs might be Clippers Warriors.
Yeah.
When we're all done with it. And Blazers Nuggets, but I mean, like, the biggest test of the Warriors might end up being,
you know, Sixers Raptors too.
Yeah.
But if we're just talking West Side.
Again, file this again in the no one knows shit about basketball department.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially no one here on this podcast. That's the number one thing.
No, you gotta expand this to mean everybody. But basically, I use this as a way to expand our credibility.
Okay, yeah.
To the level of all the salaried pundits throughout the world.
Yeah, because if we're all down at 0, then we're all equal, baby.
I mean, in the top 20 of the StatGeek SmackDown, do you ever look at that?
I don't know what StatGeek is.
StatGeek is SmackDown is just a bunch of like Sloan type analysts every year making like their predictions of the series.
Got it.
Who they're going to win, and you know, these are the guys that have the reputation of, like, you know, we've really crunched the numbers and all this kind of thing.
Yes.
Out of their like top 40 people left in the leaderboard, a total of 7 of them picked the Raptors to win the series.
Okay, so it was all money was all in the Bucks.
Yeah, like a fair number of Milwaukee in 5 picks by like top people.
Yeah,
like Tom Haberstroh.
Tom Haberstroh, the big number.
Justin Kubatko.
Oh, Kubatko.
Don't know. I feel like I've read his stuff.
Wasn't he a Sonics guy?
Maybe Steve Ilardi. I've read his stuff before.
Yeah,
somewhere. Anyway, I do think genuinely this Raptors outcome was pretty much a surprise to almost everybody, especially the way it happened.
Yes, because I don't think anybody expected them to rip off four straight wins.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a sweep. They did a sweep.
Yeah, that's shocking to me that the Bucks lost four in a row.
Right? That sweep was wild, right? And yes, there was a three of the four games in that sweep were on the Raptors' home court. That's not a normal sweep. But yeah. Even then, like, to win four games in a row in the playoffs, that fucking means something.
Yeah. And I think I would also chalk some of this up to what I was talking about last episode about this is a growing year for the Bucks.
Yeah.
A lot of them I don't think had ever been in this situation. And there's something to be said about jumping up from, like, how far did they get last year? Two rounds?
I believe they were out in the first round last year.
So, something in about this, such a huge jump that it's like it's not necessarily the best situation for like having to adjust to duress.
Yeah.
I would almost say maybe you can make that jump when the talent gap between you and the other team is so big that it doesn't really matter how much mental toughness you have. But they gave up some comebacks in this series.
They did. They gave up the last two games were comeback games.
Yeah.
I mean, and you think about the tipping point of the series, you got to look to game three when Giannis fouled out in the overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was a two overtime game, and it really sapped.
Right. So they played like 7 minutes or something without him?
Yes.
Whatever. Yeah. And like a full overtime.
I think it was like half in overtime. So maybe it was like 4 minutes without him.
Right.
But they basically, once he went out, they didn't have a shot at that overtime.
Yeah.
And after that, you know, you really put Toronto in a place of like, all right, well, okay, we beat them once, we can do it. And they did it over and over and over again until the series was over. And it was like, I think that if they had, you know, if Giannis hadn't fouled out in that game, right, which is very tough to do, to not foul out if you got five fouls and you're the guy mm-hmm. in overtime.
Especially when you are asked to carry the defensive load that he has, and you're asked to be very aggressive on offense constantly.
I mean, truly, if he hadn't fouled out, I mean, maybe they're up 3-0. Maybe they close out in four games. You know, the series could have gone any number of different ways. I think it's just an absolute testament to how amazingly Kawhi Leonard played that they, you know, came back, stormed back, and just absolutely destroyed them the rest of the series.
Yeah, the other thing is that this might be one of those matchups that, like, you run a simulation of it 100 times, and the Bucks win 81 of those.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the one, you know, where they didn't. We're in the Doctor Strange universe where
we are.
There were 14 million versions of the universe where the Bucks won this series.
Yeah.
And we're in the one. But we had to have the Raptors win because it's essential to, like, the planet survives.
Yeah, that's essential to Kevin Durant staying in Oakland.
Yeah, I think that I'm very fascinated for the finals to see when Kevin Durant comes back to the series.
Yeah,
I would say if I was a Warriors fan, I would want him to come back. I would want them to win. Did you say you think you're going to win both road games?
I think they're going to win one of the road games.
So I would say that if he comes back and they win, but in a way that Steph gets the MVP.
Yeah.
I think that is a good formula for him coming back.
Ooh.
I personally, again, with Durant, similar to Kawhi, he says, and I kind of believe this, that he cares mostly about basketball first.
Yeah.
And he does seem to be kind of like, he is so capable on the basketball court as compared to almost every other part of his life where he's kind of clumsy.
So
he really thrives like on the basketball court scoring the basketball.
Yeah.
And I think that there is not a better basketball situation in the league than staying there.
I don't know how I feel about that statement, because when he is there, right, they plan their team around him, right? And he's the guy who can get buckets. I feel like any team in the league he could go and do that with.
Yeah.
And raise them up to a level close to where they play just without that side, without that, you know, like really incredibly good fallback option.
Yeah.
Right. So like if he is playing at 100% of his level in Golden State or somewhere else, I think that those highs are not so different when it comes to just like everyday regular season gameplay.
Yeah.
Right. you know, a 60, I mean, this was a 58 win Durant season, right? Mm-hmm. 57 for the Warriors. I think he could take pretty much any team to 50 wins.
Especially in the East.
Right, especially in the East.
I think that's true, but when he used his burner account to talk about the Thunder,
yes,
he mentioned that one of the reasons that KD left was that they didn't have anything except him and Westbrook as options in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And that the coach didn't really have any plan for any, it was too dependent on him. I think what he really enjoys is playing at the highest levels in these kind of series.
Yeah.
And so having Klay and Steph pretty much means you're always going to go deep. Having Draymond makes you go deep.
Yeah.
Having Draymond makes you go deep.
Why doesn't he, you know, if Toronto wins the series, do you think that's a good path for him to sign in Toronto?
Can they sign? Do they have the room to sign him?
No.
Oh. What if he signs a veteran minimum?
Yeah, a 1+1 veteran minimum deal in Toronto.
Now, I think one thing that's potentially interesting to someone who's like a basketball savant is, can I go to the Knicks or some team that's downtrodden?
Yeah, like a downtrodden team like the Los Angeles Lakers.
Can I raise that team up? That's potentially interesting.
Yeah.
But that also seems like the kind of thing that's like mentally interesting. And then you think about like, or I could just keep living in San Francisco. Yeah. And yeah, going to the finals every year.
I could just continue to do this thing that's awesome, or I could try to do it somewhere else.
I would say from a business standpoint of view, even though New York is like a big media capital and, you know, there's a lot of marketing and all that stuff, it's more beneficial to just be in the playoffs yeah. for a long time yeah. than anything else.
Who is Kevin Durant's Maverick Carter? Who is his Rich Paul?
Is it the Rich Kleiman guy? Is that his name?
I mean, yeah, that's one of the guys who he runs that, like, the boardroom show with yeah, on ESPN yeah, yeah. Plus. Because I feel like Kevin Durant wants to be this guy who's, like, ubiquitous.
They all struggle with this.
Yeah.
They want to be something, you know, they want to be seen as a capable, like, all-around entrepreneur in a way that by all accounts they seem to struggle with. Like, for example, Iguodala, before like they won a ring in Golden State, that he couldn't get people to return his calls when he was trying to like seed venture capital stuff, and he had millions of dollars.
Yeah,
they didn't take him seriously. And now, you know, it helps that people also want to get like courtside seats to the Warriors.
Yes.
I would even say, I mean,
players don't get courtside seats all the time. Like, players get like lower bowl seats.
Yeah.
But they still got to pay for those courtside seats.
Yeah. I mean, they can afford them.
Yeah.
And those .com dudes can afford it.
.com dudes.
And I would say, you know, Kobe is sort of in transition into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Of trying to be like, you know, I love Kobe. Kobe's one of my favorite players of all time. I have the jury's out on like he really cares about storytelling.
I mean, the jury's out on noted Oscar winner Kobe Bryant.
Yes,
the jury's out on a weird children's book author Kobe Bryant.
The thing is, when he's in an interview and he's telling like my passion now really is like narrative storytelling, it's like what? Like,
well, all he's got to do is go to the library and get those reps in, you know, read the classics. All yeah. right. People have been telling me that he goes to the libraries in Orange County at like 3 o'clock in the morning,
yeah.
just checks out some books and like keeps reading them.
To an opposing author's home library.
Yeah.
And just sit there till 6 in the morning.
It's crazy. He takes the helicopter to the public library downtown.
He will release a picture of him at a Starbucks at 3 in the morning writing.
Yeah.
Just to like intimidate you and think that you're not writing as
yeah. He watches two master classes at once.
Yeah, weirdly, it's the Wolfgang Puck and the Penn and Teller.
Yeah, yeah, but you know they're narrative geniuses too.
Yeah,
just with food and magic.
And it's I would say LeBron too, like, is trying to turn into a media mogul with his uninterrupted stuff. And
I mean, and all the other ventures he has, you know, Spring Hill Entertainment.
Yeah,
you know the agency that he, you know, co-owns basically.
Yeah. And I guarantee, knowing a little bit about these show business entities, that they are working with him because he's extremely famous and he's, you know, got a lot of influence. And I think they probably always are sort of dipping their toe in, being like, you know, if his name wasn't on it and all else was equal, I don't know that they would be reading his final draft file of the movie he's pitching.
Yeah.
And, you know, then it remains to be seen, like, what did Spring Hill produce? Some movie that they produced. Anyway, like, you know, if he produces a huge hit, then he's going to establish credibility there. But I'm just speaking to the idea that the NBA players and athletes in general have always had this sort of thing where they want to be something bigger after the sport is over.
Yeah.
And like,
because it's so hard to take that drop and just go back to being
nobody. And it's happening to them when they're like 30 or 35. Yeah. That's like a very young age to viscerally know with your heart and mind that you have peaked.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm also thinking about, you know, Blake Griffin in improv comedy.
Yeah. I mean, he was pretty good on that roast. Kareem
Abdul-Jabbar in jazz music.
And Veronica Mars.
Oh, was he on Veronica Mars?
No, he was a writer for the newest season of Veronica Mars.
Magic Johnson and his movie theaters.
Yeah, and Starbucks's and 24 Hour Fitnesses.
And his great career as Lakers front office.
Lakers front office, you know. King Magic Johnson.
But Kevin Durant specifically he invests, you know, they all invest in businesses and stuff. And he also has his own YouTube channel that he starts.
Yeah.
And he definitely feels like he is wanting to carve out some more full version of himself that the public will embrace. And I think that's going to be tough. He set himself up in such a way that most, like, non-casual basketball fans have a little bit of disdain for him.
Yeah.
Which I personally don't. I think he's fine. Like,
I don't begrudge him for going to Golden State, and I don't begrudge him for being amazing at basketball. Like,
yeah.
I don't have any Kevin Durant hate. I mean, you got to acknowledge that people don't particularly care for him.
Oh, yeah. And that people are... I will see like a tweet or something on the Instagram that he posts, and I will find it completely innocuous. And people have such a filter in the way that they view his public persona that really, no matter what, like, what was the thing that happened the other day where he responded to somebody?
And it just got blown out of proportion because people then, like, made a bunch of fakes about it.
Oh, Chris Broussard.
Yeah.
Chris Broussard was like, you know, are the Warriors, is it a disaster? Is it his, like, nightmare if they win without him? And he was like, nightmare? That's kind of an exaggeration. And then people just going in on him, just like, for even being on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, as I said, I love Kobe. I like almost everything about him. However, if you really wanted to be somebody that was like, hey, I'm going to be harsh on people for their, like, real life behavior, I would say Kobe is more deserving of, oh, like,
100%
of like a knee-jerk disdain than Kevin Durant.
Yes, very much
so. I don't really know what Kevin Durant has done to anyone outside of helping to create the greatest basketball team of all time.
People hate Kevin Durant for the same reason that, like people hate Kevin Durant because he did something that they couldn't do,
uh-huh.
Right? Which was quit their job and get a better one.
Yeah.
Right? And do it in a time where, I don't know, there's something that people have where they're like, you know, they got to work for it. Everybody's got to work for
it. This is like our Puritan roots as America.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's the same. It's like, it's the reason that, like, people who are poor vote Republican, right? It's the same kind of disdain. It's the, like, he didn't earn this, right? He just did this. But, like, he did earn it. He earned the right to choose where he wanted to play. And he chose a place where he would be on the best team and be the best player on the best team.
Yeah, the equivalent would be like if now I'm trying to think if there's a madman version of this, but it, like, if you were at an ad agency and you got beat out for a client, and then the other agency that beat you wanted to hire you.
Yeah.
And during the process, you were like, man, that ad agency is run really well.
Yeah.
They've got really good people for me to work with. It's in a city that's more interesting than the one I currently live in.
Yeah.
What a dick I am for taking that job.
And here's the thing. Kevin Durant wasn't even the first dude to do that.
No.
It was Iguodala. Yeah. No joke. They beat Iguodala, and then he was with the team the next year.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know what to say to people who hate Kevin Durant other than, like, choose something else to hate.
Well, I guess... I don't
hate Chris Paul.
Oh, first of all, yeah, Chris Paul is very hateable. I don't actually care. I think it's okay for people to hate Kevin Durant in the NBA as entertainment way, that he's just a heel a little bit to some people. I don't really care about that. I think that's fine. Because I think it's interesting. There's a lot of talk about how we shouldn't have people get distracted by narrative while being fans of the NBA. And to me, I'm like, narrative is the main reason it's interesting.
Yeah.
As opposed to like just watching people mechanically execute basketball. If that was the goal, then the Warriors would be 100% everybody's favorite team because they execute the playing of basketball better than anybody.
Yeah.
But people do. It's human nature to like the narrative elements around what player goes where and who's had to overcome this and who's mad at who and that stuff. And I feel like the NBA has embraced that side of it in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Especially through Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't mind that at all. Like, I think I just want people to acknowledge that. Like, I acknowledge that I have no real reason to hate James Harden less over Chris Paul. Chris Paul is a genuinely horrible person. No, but like, really, if I met James Harden on the street, I would not be like, you're a fucking asshole, I hate you. I just like, I don't particularly like the way he plays basketball.
Yeah.
But I also know that it's kind of just like, kind of my opinion about his character, the character of James Harden in this play that we call in the NBA.
Yeah.
And so I think as long as you're aware of that like, but some people for Harden and for Durant and all these people, sometimes they do go a little, it feels a little more volatile,
yeah,
their feelings towards these players.
Yeah. And it's
only justified when it applies to Chris Paul.
Yeah. That's the only person.
Yeah. Who's truly an awful person. I don't care what charity he does. He's a terrible person.
Terrible person. Bowling sucks.
Even though technically I did shoot part of a commercial that he was in.
We're not even going to get into that because...
Doesn't matter. I was cut out of it.
So. There you go.
Probably by Chris Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably because he saw me in dailies and he's racist and he cut me out.
That's got to be it.
He knew one day that I would be host of NBA podcast disparaging him.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't nip it in the
bud. In every episode. It's literally been 40 episodes since we've talked.
We had a string of 3 episodes where I complimented him.
Yeah. And right in a row. Those were not rule of threes. That was some other podcast that
that
were recording.
That was the equivalent of Marvel's What If comic book series.
Yes.
We should say goodbye.
Yes, exactly. Oh, we're on the same page, maybe. Yeah. Goodbye to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Surprising to say it this early.
I know. A little sad. Here's what I'm going to miss about the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm going to miss my dad's tweets. For those of you who don't know, my dad, Pau Gasol, is my dad. He's my dad, and he's been my dad, and my dad is Pau Gasol. And he's just so good at Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He joined the Bucks mid-season after a buyout with the Spurs.
Oh, you're talking about Marc Gasol.
I'm talking about Pau Gasol.
Oh, okay.
My dad, who is my father. Uh-huh. He's my actual father, and his name is Pau Gasol. He's just got the best Twitter in the world. And I'm showing this to Chris, and if you go to my Twitter, you can see I retweeted it. He posted a picture of himself and then go team in Bucks emojis.
Yes.
Truly just like as my dad is so good at Twitter that it's like it blows me out of this world. Like, don't follow me. Follow Pau Gasol, who is my dad, on Twitter. So I'm going to miss Pau Gasol tweeting about a team where I would.
All right. Mark is on the Raptors.
Yeah, Mark's on the Raptors.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Pau, my dad, he signed with the Bucks in the middle of the season, which is like... You know, it's a bummer that he's not going to get a chance to get that last championship because he's super duper retiring in the offseason.
Now, has he announced this? Or
no, he hasn't announced it. But if he plays again next year, he's not going to be able to come to our family reunion.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to get to play catch with him.
So Mark is your uncle then.
That makes Mark my uncle. And I'm happy, you know, the family's happy that he's playing in the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, truly just
Pau Gasol. Wait, we didn't see the Gasol parents there.
We did not because they're doctors and they don't care about
having
basketball.
To like flip a coin to see who they were going to root for, wearing, you know, back and forth 1-1 jerseys.
That is correct. That did not happen. And part of the reason is that Pau's already won a ship and he didn't play because his foot was broken.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Still, no excuse. Bad parenting.
Bad parenting. You know, get that Raptors. Also, both players were traded, like with a different team than what they started this year. So they should have a quad jersey.
All four jerseys.
So a Spurs and Grizzlies and Raptors and Bucks Gasol jersey together. Piece them all together.
By the way, I am happy that Jeremy Lin will be in the finals.
Yes, you are.
I really hope he hits the court.
I mean, I chose to wear this specific jersey I'm wearing for the podcast for a reason. This is one of my two Jeremy Lin jerseys.
Ah. I mean, unfortunately, it seems like Fred VanVleet has kind of said,
solidified his position there. What are you not going to miss about the 2018-2019 Milwaukee Bucks?
I believe that listeners of this podcast
I will not miss about the Eric Bledsoe.
It's the 2019 Milwaukee Bucks. Yes. No, I will not miss Eric Bledsoe.
He's with the team for a long time now. He re-signed during the season an extension. He's going to be there for a long time.
Was it last year or the year before that I really started to develop a disdain for the way that he plays?
I think it was the year that it was last year, because that was the year he got traded from Phoenix to Milwaukee. And you just watched him play in those Bucks games and you're like, I hate him.
What I hate about him is that...
Now, do you hate him or the actor that plays him in the play that is the NBA?
This is borderline.
Ooh.
No. It's not. I have no idea. But what I do hate about him is that he plays with the swag of somebody who has accomplished way more than he has. And he plays with the demeanor of someone who's a lot more consistently impactful on a game than he is.
Yeah.
He just isn't... He doesn't show up on a regular basis enough to be... To have the, like, I don't know, the way that he plays, if you watched him in isolation, you could put together these crazy, like, 3.5 minute chunks.
Yeah.
Where it's like, holy shit, this is the best player on the court. He must be an all-star. You know, he must be the best player on this team. And then, like, the other 44.5 minutes of the game, it's like, not present at all.
Yeah.
And he will have his box scores, like his game logs are like that too. He'll make impact every like third or fourth game or something.
Yeah.
But he's not coming off the bench. He's not like, you know, he's not like a Vinnie Johnson that's like, get in there and score some points. He plays with the demeanor, and I don't know why. I just get the feeling that he is the kind of person that would not want to be like a sixth man.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that you have that feeling is because when he was the sixth man behind Chris Paul and the Clippers, he asked for a trade.
Now, I got a great way to make the Bucks instantly better.
Okay.
Is to invoke the little-known NBA rule.
Okay.
That you can trade players of the first name, you can just swap them, and that is swap Eric Gordon in.
Okay, so Eric Gordon instead of Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah.
Chris,
a lot of people don't know about
Chris Crush Davis for Chris Middleton.
Giannis is, it's hard. It's admittedly tough to find another Giannis in the league.
Ersan Ilyasova, that's another tough swap.
Yeah. I mean, this is a reason to.
Nikola Tesla for Nikola Mirotic.
Yeah. I mean, if you want, bring in Eric Montross for Eric Bledsoe.
Oh, that's another great one. You could also bring in my other dad, Eric Lawrence.
Oh, yeah,
other dad.
Yes.
I've got two dads.
Who does have a Twitter account?
He does not have a Twitter account. He refuses to put a new SIM card in the smartphone that he bought this weekend.
What?
I mean, he bought, okay, so here's the story.
He bought a new smartphone.
He bought a new smartphone.
Which model?
He got a Motorola, I believe it's a G5 or Moto G5.
Is this one of those ones that's like $149?
Yes, it's one of those ones that's $149. And he got it for $119. Great deal. Good way to go, Pops.
Cool.
And he has a SIM card in his old like flip phone that he tried to take out and put in his other one, but it was the wrong size. Because this used now everything's a nano SIM.
Yep, it's a big one.
Big one. So it didn't fit. So he has yet to go to the AT&T store to get a new SIM card for his new phone.
Right, which takes 5 minutes.
Because he's mad at the AT&T people for saying that his microcell is outdated technology. He gets bad AT&T reception in his house,
so he has a little
AT&T microcell. But what he doesn't understand is that most cell phones nowadays let you use your Wi-Fi network as a microcell because you don't need to. That's just what it was. It's the same thing. So he's mad about all sorts of stuff. And one of those things is that he refuses to actually get a SIM card for the cell phone that he bought.
Sounds like a reasonable man.
Nothing more reasonable than my old pops. That's why I have two dads, is because I have my reasonable dad, Pau Gasol, and my little bit unreasonable dad, Eric Lawrence.
Pau Gasol, though, I believe has missed some practices and games because his cell phone alarm didn't go off.
That is true. That's a Pau thing, yeah. Definitely.
They both got a weird relationship to tech.
I mean, oh, God, and, you know, it's like, yeah, my dad also holds a good grudge. When he took a Blockbuster movie to the wrong Blockbuster video to return it, and they told him didn't accept it.
They couldn't just let me put myself in the shoes of your dad.
Yeah, one of my two dads,
Eric Lawrence.
Yeah.
By the way, we're talking about Eric Lawrence is the one that returned to Blockbuster, yes, not Pau Gasol.
No, Pau never had any problems with Blockbuster because, like, he watches the opera.
This is what I would think. Is this not like a library type system where I can give you this tape and there's some kind of distribution system where you can just get it to the right place?
Yes, that's what he thought.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
That's not the case. I mean, different franchise owners for different Blockbuster stores make it not the case.
And also it's not a library.
It's also not a library. And so then he boycotted Blockbuster for the rest of his life.
Whoa. Yeah. How's that going now?
I mean, he outlasted Blockbuster.
Yep.
The way to go, my dad.
You know. I bet you can do that thing that he wanted to do at a Redbox. I bet you can throw it in any Redbox.
You can throw it in any Redbox because one person owns every Redbox.
I have used Redbox once, like on a tour. I find Redbox so appealing.
Yeah.
Like there's something about it that's like, I really want to use this. Yeah. I don't really have a reason to because most things can be streamed and
all that. Here's the great thing about Redbox is that, like, it makes it so easy to get movies in your home without having to go to the DVD store.
Yeah.
And then, or you could also just like do
pay
that.
$2 on iTunes.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
Wait, what were you talking about? Oh, you have watched more minutes of the Raptors Bucks series than me. My question for you is, what is the deal with Mirotić?
He kind of disappeared, which is a bit of a bummer because, you know, he was a guy who they traded for midseason and really wanted to be a big part of that team.
Right.
And it was, you know, a little sad to watch him just kind of go, all right, well, guess we'll catch you later.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know, it felt like he was missing open shots.
Yeah.
It felt like he was playing poorly.
My question would be,
I mean, he didn't even play in the last game.
Yeah, and that's not his choice.
No.
Like, so that feels to me like, you know, their relationship has deteriorated to the point, you know, where he gets 0 minutes.
I mean, he scored 0 points on 4 shots in game 5.
Yeah.
Let's see. What did he do in game 4? Game 4, he started and went 4 for 10. At 11 points. Yeah.
Just it's weird to me that, like, one of your starters by the last game of this, like, 2 games later, plays 0 minutes.
Yeah.
That to me, it seems like something went wrong.
Did go wrong.
He is a free agent.
He's gone.
So he's probably gone.
He's so gone.
Do you think Chris Middleton will take his $13 million player option?
No. I think he will decline that incredibly quickly, and he will try to get the best deal on the open market.
I mean, George Hill next year will be making $18 million.
Yeah,
so I think you could argue, if you're Chris Middleton's agent, that
you should be getting $30 million.
You should be making what George Hill makes,
or if not, he should be making more. Like, Chris Middleton should be getting paid. His agent will say $28 to $30 million a year next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's not appropriate. I think that Chris Middleton should be getting 22.
Yeah,
but like, get your money.
And it's within the bounds of an agent to ask for that because he was an all-star.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's only, what, 24 all-stars?
24 all-stars a year. I mean, I guess there were 26, and then the injury replacements.
Or energy replacement.
Field energy.
Is Giannis on his rookie deal still?
No, Giannis is on
his. How many years has he been in the league?
This is his 7th year in the league.
Oh, okay. Because he is underpaid right now. Like, he has two more years, but if he can stay in the, like, if he can stay healthy and stay at the production level, if not more, I know lots of Bucks fans in the last 48 hours demanding that he improve his outside shot, which, you know, is a reasonable thing to want, but, like, the ferocity of which Bucks fans are, like, suddenly very mad about his lack of an outside shot.
Yeah. This was his sixth year, just to correct the record.
Okay.
He could definitely stand to improve his outside shot. They're not wrong about that.
Yes.
But he doesn't need to do that to become the most dominant player in the league. It's going to make him even more dominant once he does that.
I guess from a Bucks fan's perspective, it's that if he had, like, even let's say George Hill's outside shot.
Yeah.
He could dominate games to the point that he could take them to the finals with almost anybody else on the team.
Yeah.
So that is a thing you would want for your team. It's just interesting to me that, like, the Bucks, a lot of their disappointment in the loss has really focused on Giannis's flaws. And I'm like, he's kind of like the, you know, in the top three of the league in terms of, you know. So in 2 years, I suspect he'll be getting a gigantic contract.
Yes.
Because,
I mean, they'll max him immediately.
That would be a super max, I would think.
Oh, 100%. So super max, yeah, for sure. He'll get it.
I wonder how many, if you just need to make all NBA in that last season before it, or if you make it somewhere.
No, it's, if you make it along the line, you're good.
Oh, but okay.
It's, I think, all NBA a certain number of times, or MVP once, or whatever.
I'm sure he will have covered.
Yeah, he'll get it. Let's talk about, you know, how we feel about this Raptors Warriors series.
Okay.
All right. I want to know what you think kind of some of these secondary matchups are going to play out like, right?
Ooh.
Because I think we can all talk about, you know, Kawhi and Durant, you know, and as much as Durant as we're going to get, or Kawhi versus Curry, you know, in those scenarios. But I kind of want to see, like, how do you think the Raptors, who have a better, like, big man core, you know, past Draymond, I think, you know, because Draymond is a big man.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, the combination of Gasol and Ibaka.
Well, if you want to talk about the Damian Jones, Jeremy Lin matchup, I think it goes pretty deep.
I didn't say quadertiary. I said secondary.
Quadertiary,
definitely how you say the fourth. Chieri.
In terms of big man, do you think that we're just going to roll with Bogut versus Gasol for, like,
I don't think
the first 11 minutes of every game,
and then
they, like, sit down for the rest of the game?
Yeah, and then Kevon Looney gets in there. I don't know what Golden State's going to do with their big men, because, you know, Gasol wasn't on the team when they played the Raptors earlier in the season, right? It was Jonas Valanciunas.
Right.
So we don't really know what it's like. And, you know, Gasol and Valanciunas, you kind of guard them similarly in that they're both big men who can shoot out to the three-point line. But I think that Valanciunas is not as good a passer as Marc Gasol.
Is Boogie coming back?
Boogie is questionable for game one.
Okay.
So that means, you know, in injury parlance, that he's about a 50% chance to play in game one.
Okay.
So I don't know, and he will probably be on a minutes restriction once he gets back, even though there's only, you know, seven games left in the season at most.
Right.
And so it feels to me kind of like I don't know. I mean, because it'll be kind of a Kevon Looney, Andrew Bogut, you know, smorgasbord against, you know, two kind of well-established centers in Gasol and Ibaka.
Right.
And so you're going to get Draymond on, you know, I don't know who Draymond plays against, but if you have Gasol or Ibaka pulling Draymond out of the paint, like, that's something he hasn't really had to deal with in a while in the postseason. He's kind of been able to play center field on defense.
Uh-huh.
And that has really led him to be that spark plug that the Warriors have needed. And I don't know if I see him getting that same kind of opportunity in this Toronto series.
I think that they will put him on the center, and that they will scheme in a way that trying to keeps him in the flow of things as much as possible. I don't think you're going to see situations where Draymond just sits on a big man shooter on the arc and is not able to get involved on the defense.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see how they do that.
I mean, the Warriors have such cool defensive scheming that I think they will be able to handle whatever it turns out to be.
Yeah.
I would think that they'll probably put... who do you think they're going to put on Kawhi?
Oh, Iguodala. But, I mean, I think that Kawhi will be guarded by multiple people over the course of the season. Yes. Including Clay.
Clay, for sure.
Including Iguodala, including Draymond.
Including Looney, too. Looney, yeah, I can actually see them putting Draymond on Kawhi for, like, significant parts of the game as well. Yeah,
definitely.
I would say that... I don't think that the... I know you were talking about big men, but I don't think that the Lowry-Curry matchup, if that's what it ends up being, is good for Toronto.
Oh, yeah. Yadoy.
But I mean, like, I think it's worse than even than it we might think it would be.
Yeah. And the you know, the shooting guard matchup, you know, you got...
I might consider... It's hard to tell. I haven't watched enough Danny Green to know. Is he terrible on defense?
He is not terrible on defense. He's had a good defensive season. Better than Kyle Lowry. But in the playoffs, he has not played well anywhere.
Because I would think, given what I have known previously about Danny Green, that we would put Danny Green on Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Maybe try to hide Lowry on Thompson because...
Ooh, but then you're running Lowry around screens. Yeah, and, that's true. A guy who doesn't practice isn't going to be running around screens.
Yeah. I don't know.
Siakam is a guy you could probably put on Thompson. That's why the defensive matchups in the series are going to be so interesting because there's a lot of like really good positionless players, I guess, like wings.
Yes.
And so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who's playing and when. But, you know, from that starting, because the starting five for the Raptors of Lowry and Green, and Siakam and Gasol and Kawhi, right? That starting lineup is basically Siakam at the power forward.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right? And so Draymond's at power forward for the Warriors. You got Curry and Thompson, Iguodala, and then insert hunk of meat center here for Warriors.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, hunk of meat center doesn't do much on defense or offense.
This is why, okay, so I think that there's it's very hard to sketch out who's going to guard who. I think in general that is most of the edge situations are worse for the Raptors.
Yeah.
Like there are just more. Here's the problem for the Raptors. There's more cases where if we shuffle up who's defending who, you've got bad matchups for the Raptors as opposed to like the Warriors where like it's not great if, okay, we obviously you don't want Curry guarding Kawhi, yeah. Right? But like they also scheme in a way that they sometimes know this is coming. Like they don't get burned as much. The Warriors do. Like there's not situations as much in the playoffs where it's like they fucking exploited Curry like six plays in a row or whatever. It just doesn't seem to happen. They scheme for it. Group mind as a defensive team is very high, especially considering the group mind is basically Draymond yelling at everybody.
Yes.
So this is what's not good for the Raptors is that there's, I think, more potential matchups that are bad and exploitable for them in the moment.
Yes.
And I don't know if there's a better team in the league at instantly discovering those as they happen and turning those into like a layup.
Yeah.
There's so many plays in the playoffs over the last 5 years where the Warriors make it look like the defense was not even trying.
Yeah.
And it's not really the defenses. They're not that bad. It's like they hedge too far on a screen and somebody back cut them and just, there's a person under their basket just dunking it by themselves.
Yeah. Scary.
It's very scary. These are the best two shooting teams in the league.
And from true the regular percent. Season as well?
From regular season. The Golden State Warriors true shooting was 59% and the Bucks were 58%.
We're playing the Raptors in the playoffs.
Oh, I'm sorry. and also, we're the Lakers.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I forgot to tell you. The finals are... The Lakers versus the Bucks.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so how ingrained I thought it was the Bucks. the Raptors are the fourth best shooting team.
Okay.
They were also shooting basically 58%.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for correcting me. We didn't have a huge, long discussion about Mirotić having to guard Boogie Cousins. Now, actually, everything we said about the matchups, about like insert hunk of meat center.
Yeah.
It does change if there's a decently... healthy Boogie.
Yes.
Because then it's like, what the fuck do you do now?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, you lose in five games. That's what you do.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, the bench on Golden State is weak. And before Boogie and Curry come back, you know, the more McKinney and Cook and, you know, who's the other guy? Lee, that they play, the less likely it is that they, you know, win in five games. And more likely it is that they win in six.
Jacob Evans, is that who you're thinking? Or Jarebko?
Jarebko, yes.
Livingston.
Yeah, yeah. Livingston. I don't know what to expect from Sean Livingston because, you know, he's hinted this is going to be his last season. I feel like he could go out with a really good performance in the finals.
I think both of these benches are pretty weak.
Yeah.
I
mean, to be fair, the Raptors have the best bench in the league because they have Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, to be fair. However, they give away that advantage by not playing him.
Yes. Decent point.
And I think, the Bucks we were saying had probably the best bench. Like, they, was it, I can't remember if we went into that series saying that they had a good bench. But I think it's clear that on paper, the Warriors don't really have a good bench.
No.
However, they have gotten great production out of their bench.
They have.
In these last two series.
We cannot discount the fact that Looney and McKinney have played well. Right? I don't expect them to continue to play well. I mean, maybe Looney I do expect to continue to play well, but McKinney, I don't expect him to continue to play well.
Looney, you have the fact that, like, his definition of playing well is just staying active and getting a lot of rebounds.
And that's a great definition of playing well.
So, and that is an easier thing to, if it's attributable to someone's just effort, it's easier to, like, be consistent about that.
Yeah.
You can always be consistent about your effort to grab rebounds. You can't be consistent about, like, how many three-pointers you make in a game.
Yeah.
There's just a high variance for that kind of thing, even for such great shooters as Steph Curry.
Yeah.
I think this might be the Warriors without Durant versus the Raptors might have been the most matchup out of all the playoffs. So I was just like, oh, this will be fun. And again, genuinely, I don't really care who wins.
Yeah.
The only person I'm rooting against in this whole series is Drake.
Yeah. And
and even that, I don't really care that much about.
I mean, hey, there's a good chance that he's not going to win the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't play basketball.
He's part of the team.
Yeah.
He clearly affects the game. He's giving the coach massages.
Did you see that he's got Durant and Curry tattoos?
What? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. It was very funny.
The only way, if every team acquired an ambassador... I think one thing that would help me root a little, I already like the Raptors. I like Masai. I love the Danny Green YouTube channel.
Yes.
The Ibaka cooking show is great.
The Ibaka cooking show.
So they got a lot of reasons to root for them. The only thing that, in terms of ambassador that would help me root for them is if the opposing team, had, like, for example, let's say the New Orleans Hornets played them in the finals and the ambassador for the New Orleans Hornets was like DJ Khaled.
Okay, well, first off, the New Orleans Pelicans ambassador would be Lil Wayne, because he's actually from New Orleans.
DJ Khaled, we went to like Orlando High School, but for some reason I associate him with...
Yeah, no, he's not. It'd be Lil Wayne, and that would be great because Lil Wayne and Drake had a concert tour that they went on where they fought versus each other every time, and I went to see that concert live.
I'll just point out, DJ Khaled was born in New Orleans.
Was he really?
Yes. So it didn't just come from nowhere.
Okay. All right.
DJ Khaled will be the mascot for the New Orleans Hornets, who will come back in a different league.
Okay.
They will play a three-way final against the Milwaukee Bucks and the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yes.
This is what they mean by big three over the summer.
Oh, my God.
It's just teams.
Yes.
You put 15 people on the court at once. It's a triangular-shaped court.
I love it.
And there's trampolines in the center.
That's the better big three. We've just created it.
It's a hybrid of big three and slam ball.
I mean, I'm in. I'm totally in. I can't wait to dislocate every ankle I own.
The official position of this podcast is almost anything involving slam ball is something we're interested in.
Oh, we're super, super interested.
So we're going to try to do a late podcast Thursday after game
one. After the game, yeah.
And then I'm going to Sydney, Australia.
And so we're going to get a couple of casts to you during the series. And then it's the off season, which means a couple of things. One, we got WNBA talk. I don't know if you saw this or not, but the WNBA season started on Friday night, I believe. Season's already off to an interesting start. The Sparks got stomped by the Aces in game one.
Aces, the team you were mentioning, they're
going to be so good. So yeah, I'm excited to see it. First Sparks home game is Friday night. I'm debating about whether or not to get some tickets. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. The other, we got the Big Three. I think I'm going to watch some Big Three content this summer and see about, you know, talking a little bit about the old guys playing some b-ball.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, I think in the summer we're going to do our best to get you some content, talking to some people in the comedy community about what they love about basketball and, you know, their basketball journeys and stories. And, you know, we got an off season to look forward to. So we're keeping it rolling.
I will be in Sydney, Australia, watching some basketball. I have to figure out when these games are on. It will be basically noon-ish for me. So I should be able to watch them and be able to talk to you afterwards.
Nice.
I'll also be, you know, paying tribute to some of the great Australian basketball players of all time. Your Shane Heels.
Yeah.
Your Bogut's, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Your Luke Longley's.
You're going to go to the Australian Basketball Museum?
Is there one?
I mean, I
maybe
hope.
Maybe there is. Yeah. I did not know this. Matthew Dellavedova is Australian?
You didn't fucking know that?
No, I thought he was Argentinian or something like that.
No.
I've never heard him speak my whole life.
Wow.
Delhi. I'm looking at an article on Medium.com that has ranked the best Australian basketball players of all time.
Yeah.
And they have put Aaron Baines above Ben Simmons.
Wow. Shame.
So everybody get ready for the finals. Get ready for the Raptors to get destroyed.
Destroyed.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.